Thanks for listening to the Best of the Odd Couple podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 7 p.m. to 10 p.m. Eastern, 4 to 7 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for The Odd Couple at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
You're listening to The Best of The Odd Couple with Chris Broussard and Rob Parker.
Speaking of Belichick and the Patriots, Tom Brady's, and look, I hope, Rob, that the Tampa Bay Buccaneers are not looking past the LA Rams this weekend, because that's a game that is dangerous for them. The Rams are a very good team, and so they better not be looking past them. We'll get into that more probably tomorrow. But the reason I say they better not be looking past them is because so many people are pointing towards next week's return to New England of Tom Brady. They're saying, Rob, this will be the biggest regular season game in NFL history. I mean, it's just all the hoopla and the pomp and circumstance, and it's going to be huge. There's no denying it. And so people are already talking about it. And as you know, we are both, we come from a newspaper background. What the local reporters in New England are doing is what? They're writing about it, and they're going out and trying to talk to whoever they can to talk about this. You had Tom Brady's dad on, I believe, a local radio station.
That's all he does is talk. I mean, it's unbelievable. It sounds like he played in the league, the way he talks.
Hey, I guess his son won 7 Super Bowls. He can say what he wants. So he was talking, no, I don't think it was on the radio, but he was talking to Tom Curran podcast. And he talked about how Brady feels vindicated for, you know, winning that Super Bowl in Tampa Bay last year. And now, Rob, Alex Guerrero, who is Tom Brady's trainer, longtime trainer, architect along with Brady of the TB12 method, and that's what they credit to his longevity and so on and so forth. And he's the guy who Belichick, you know, kind of wanted, you know, didn't want to have such reign in the Patriots facility and didn't want so many players from the Patriots seeing him and all that. And so he spoke to the Boston Herald, Rob, and here's what he said, and then I'd like to get your comments. He said, it was like Bill never really, I think his emotions or feelings never evolved with age. Tom got into his late 30s or early 40s. I think Bill was still trying to treat him like that 20-year-old kid that he drafted. And all the players, I think, realized Tom was different. He's older, so he should be treated differently. And all the players, none of them would have cared that he was treated differently. I think that was such a Bill thing, as in Belichick. He never evolved. So you can't treat someone who's in his 40s like they're 20. It doesn't work. Rob, your thoughts?
Guerrero, isn't he the trainer that had one of the Patriots busted for juice? He's that trainer, isn't he? I think there was, who was the player?
I'm not sure.
I'll get the name, but Edelman. Edelman got busted working under the TB method, and Guerrero. Guerrero was such an invasive person that Bill Belichick, a guy who should be like a piece of paneling on the wood, who should be like a chair or a piece of furniture when you're just a trainer, you should be seen and not heard, wants to be a celebrity. That's why this guy is talking the way he does. That's why Bill Belichick didn't want him around on the team playing and in the facility. Do your business elsewhere when you want to be a star trainer in a facility where Tom Brady's not the only person there. There are other players, and he did let Tom Brady have some special treatment because Guerrero, imagine if every player wanted their own trainer in the facility like Tom Brady had. The idea that Guerrero could come out of his mouth and say he didn't treat Tom Brady any differently than when he was a 22-year-old kid is nonsense. Guerrero had free reign. What are you talking about? And Bill Belichick, why would he change who he is and treat people? It's worked for him. He's won 6 Super Bowls. He had great defenses. Guys came and went. They didn't pay people. They brought in other people. They kept winning. Why would he change? So this whole idea is just another one of those things of a guy who should be working with Tom Brady, keeping his mouth shut, be a trainer. Most trainers, you don't even know their names. You've never heard sound bites from trainers because that's not who they should be. They shouldn't be those guys. It's like an umpire. We shouldn't know your name. If you're making the calls, we don't even know who you are. That's what a trainer's supposed to be. You're supposed to be like third base. We need you for the game, but nobody comes to see you. Stop it.
Well, look, I don't know anything about Alex Guerrero other than his affiliation with Tom Brady, TB12, and some of the other players around the league. He does look like he is a tad bit publicity hungry.
Okay.
I'll give you that.
I'm glad you agree with that.
And I don't know if it's hungry or whatever, but he is definitely in the public eye more than your average trainer. I'll give you that. That said, I still think he's right in what he said. And I don't think, every player's not going to have their own personal trainer, but every player's not Tom Brady. LeBron James has his own personal trainer, and he's there at the Lakers facility. No, he's there at the Lakers facility. Every Laker doesn't have their own personal trainer, but LeBron does. Kawhi Leonard had his own personal training staff. They're at the facility. They're doing what they do with Kawhi.
He said Bill Belichick didn't treat Brady any different.
Well, Belichick ended up essentially wanting to boot Guerrero out of the facility. And that's kind of what he did. And these are the things that led to the acrimony that was there. But what I agree with, Rob, and obviously I wasn't there. I'm basing it on the reports and all of that stuff. But Bill seemed, and like you said, he's consistent. I mean, no player was treated better than any other player. But sometimes there are exceptions. There are. LeBron James gets treated differently. Michael Jordan got treated differently. Bill Russell, we know this, Rob. He got treated differently. He didn't practice a lot of the time. Wilt Chamberlain said, look, you want me to go to shoot around? I'm coming once, coach. I'll come for the morning shoot around or I'll come for the evening game. Which one you want? When you're that good, you get special treatment. It's just as simple as that. And Brady didn't get that treatment early on. And I think later in age, as he should have gotten more special treatment because I think he was mature enough to not abuse it. Clearly, he wouldn't have abused it. He's not abusing it in Tampa. So I give Belichick a ton of credit, Rob. I don't think if Brady goes anywhere else that he becomes the Tom Brady that we know. I think Belichick's ability to develop him, his choice to stick with him when Drew Bledsoe came back, and the fact that they had the great defense and Belichick knew not to put too much on Brady's shoulders early when he wasn't good enough, and they were able to win 3 Super Bowls. But then as Brady matured, got better, and really developed into an individual superstar, not just a guy that wins games, that's when I think Belichick should have at least evolved, to use Guerrero's words, a little bit. Not totally, but a little bit to accommodate a great player. And he got his 6 rings, Rob, to your point. Why should he change? He's got 6 rings. But he may have cost himself more rings. Obviously, Brady got 1 last year. If Brady, it depends on how much more winning he does. If he just wins this 1 Super Bowl last year, Rob, I don't think it's going to be that big of a deal that, Belichick let him go prematurely. But if he wins another one, then I think that's when, and Belichick doesn't win anymore, that's when it'll become a bigger deal.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
Hey, what's up, everybody? It's me, three-time Pro Bowler LeVar Arrington, and I couldn't be more excited to announce a new podcast called Up On Game. What is Up On Game, you ask? Along with my fellow Pro Bowler, TJ Houshmandzadeh, and Super Bowl champion, yep, that's right, Plexico Burress. You can only name a show with that type of talent on it, Up On Game. We're going to be sharing our real-life experiences loaded with teachable moments. Listen to Up On Game with me, LeVar Arrington, TJ Houshmandzadeh, and Plexico Burress on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts from.
And Mike Lombardi, who we actually worked with briefly, right? Yes. When he was at FS1, it was a short stay, but he
was
here
for a moment. When we first got there, right?
Yep.
Right? When we
yep.
first
and
started.
I liked Mike.
Yep.
I liked
Mike
him.
Is a great guy.
Yeah. Yep. Really good guy. Very knowledgeable. You know, worked in the league and the NFL for a long time in the front office. And actually worked with the New England Patriots, if I'm not mistaken, right?
Yeah, I think he used to hold the tripod for the camera, but that's another story.
That's not what it says on his resume. It just has some type of special title that he was with New England.
Video
in the
coordinator.
Right.
Right.
But former NFL general manager Mike Lombardi. He was on the Straight Fire podcast, another podcast I never missed, with Jason McIntyre and our own.
Boy.
Rob
he was
G.
slumming this morning. Rob G.
I know. I'm shocked that y'all got Mike Lombardi to come on y'all podcast, Rob G.
Yeah, it costs a lot of money, but we'll be all right.
You're
that took away y'all
now.
Whole 2022 budget, huh?
That's right.
But anyway, here's what he said, and this might surprise you, Rob.
Yeah. All through the draft, you know, all we heard about was how ridiculous it would have been to trade up for Mac Jones, how he wasn't worth the third pick in the draft. Twitter dominated that narrative, right? Mac Jones isn't good enough. The 49ers only made that trade to get Trey Lance. There's no way you should trade up to get him. Justin Fields is better than – Mac Jones is by far the best rookie quarterback. He's by far the best rookie. He didn't go to a playoff team. You know, he went to a team and he's just feeling his oats. They haven't really developed. They haven't been able to really – they haven't gelled as an offensive unit yet up in New England. They're going to take some time.
All right, so he's giving major league love to Mac Jones. Look, Boomer Esiason, Rob, a former NFL MVP. A lot of people might not know this. You see Boomer on TV as a commentator, and he looks old. Not old for, you know, he looks good for his age, but, you know, he's older to the millennials. And you don't know, Boomer was a good player.
He's not a
Hall of Famer, but he was a good quarterback and actually won an MVP one year. But he said something similar, Rob. I do think he kind of pumped the brakes a little bit later. But he did say something similar on WEEI in Boston. Here he is.
Who would be the first quarterback taken?
Well, I think Mac Jones would be. I mean, I think everybody sees that, and he's in the perfect offense. But again, you have to remember that Jacksonville's starting over. The Jets are starting over. Trey Lance is sitting on the bench just waiting for Jimmy Garoppolo to go down eventually. So I think in the situation that these quarterbacks find themselves in, Mac is in the best situation for a young quarterback to be supported by his team, by his coaching staff.
See, Rob,
hello.
I agree with the second. I'll just say this and then turn it over to you. I agree with the second part of Boomer's statement. There's no way I think Mac Jones would be the number one pick. If it's Jacksonville, they taking Trevor Lawrence. There's nothing we've seen in these first 2 weeks that would convince me they wouldn't be taking Trevor Lawrence.
Right.
So I disagree with that. But
a little, this is that New England roots, Chris. You know, I know he doesn't work there anymore, but to say that he's the best quarterback out there, he's in the best situation. The Jets are terrible. I don't care who you put in there as a rookie quarterback, Chris. Jacksonville, Urban Meyer, that's nice. Is he playing? Is he suiting up? Hello? They stink. Put Mac Jones on Jacksonville. Don't tell me they're winning games.
It'd be ugly.
Or put them in with
uglier.
The Jets. Come on, man. Mike, we got better than that. That's too easy. That's picking the low-hanging fruit. Come on. They went out. The New England Patriots went out and spent more money than I spent on a backpack. That's what they did. They went out and they loaded up. And to make it like they won 7 games. 3 starters opted out on COVID. Their quarterback was hurt.
Six players, 3 starters.
Six over, 3 starters, Chris. You know, their quarterback went down. He had COVID, came back, never was the same. They still won 7 games. Don't act like it was bare bones and there's nothing there. Then they went out and Bill Belichick had a Christmas list. And spent money like it was going out of style, like it came out of Tom Brady's back pocket.
$70 million, I believe.
Yes. We never saw them spend that kind of money, Chris. Have we? The Patriots?
No. I'm with you, Rob. And it's just funny to me that our old buddy Mike Lombardi said that. Like, and he didn't go to a playoff team. Like,
right,
there's
right.
levels to this, Mike.
And I Seven wins is not that far
right.
because the Bears made it at 8-8. What is
the
he talking about?
Between the 7-9 and the Jaguars? Come on,
right?
1-15? And Rob G, get on the mic. Because this is a pet peeve of ours, especially Rob Parker's.
Yes, you already
did
know.
You
go ahead, tell him.
Did you follow up? Did you say, hold on, Mike? Yeah, they didn't make the playoffs, but don't tell me there's the same where New England is and where Jacksonville. I bet you sat there with a smile on your face. Yeah. You're right.
Well,
what'd you do?
I did not participate in that interview. I don't participate in
that
interview.
Did Jason follow up or push back?
No.
See? Rob
he
G.
chuckled and smiled, didn't he?
Right.
A little bit, yeah. Something like that.
But the point is, there's nothing wrong with it. Just say, dude, come on. It's not the same team. It's not the same circumstance. The Jets and the Jaguars are god-awful. Stop it.
Well, you know what, Rob? I will give, Jason credit in this, in that Mike has been on the Mac Jones train long before he started in New England. He was one of the guys who said at the time, the reason why San Francisco traded up to number 3 was for Mac Jones. And he's the one who's been saying since then, the only reason they didn't take him is because they got spooked by the fallout from the fans in the Bay Area, that why would you trade up for a guy like Mac Jones?
Right.
Well, look, and I like Mac Jones. You guys know I've picked New England to make the playoffs. And I think that Belichick is bringing him along the right way. I don't even want to put him in the same sentence as Tom Brady, but it's reminiscent of, you know, he didn't give Brady too much early on, and that's what he's doing with Mac Jones. He's letting the defense and the running game win the games, and Mac Jones just has to, you know, be a solid game manager.
Because what do we have on the stats from Mac Jones? One touchdown and no picks? Is that all
right.
he has?
Yep. And again, they're 1-1, and that's fine. I mean,
and they've been an awful
Jets
team.
Right. I think gradually, though, they'll add more to his plate. But bottom line is there's no way he'd be the number one pick in this draft. Now, 5 years from now, when Jacksonville's had a chance to build a team, and maybe not even 5 years, 3 years, 4 years from now, and the Jets, you know, we've seen Zach Wilson for a while, and Trey Lance gets, you know, when Garoppolo probably gets hurt and then Trey Lance is in there. And, you know, after a little while and we've seen these guys, then eventually you do say, look, the quarterbacks that's winning the most is the better one. But not
you know what?
After
it,
two
you know
games.
What it would be like, Chris? It would be like after we saw Lonzo Ball for a few years. You could say, if they redid the draft, he wouldn't be the second pick. It's not
right.
to say that he couldn't play or he wouldn't be in the top 10, but after watching him right for 3 years, would you agree with that? He would not be picked second.
Oh, no. No way. No way. He wouldn't even be the first point guard taken.
No.
De'Aaron Fox would have went ahead of him. I can't remember who was first in that draft. But, yeah, I don't remember if it was a point guard or not. But Lonzo wouldn't have went second, that's for sure. And Magic certainly wouldn't have said that his records were in peril. right? It would Lonzo. But Rob, yeah, I agree with you. The bottom line is Mac Jones is in a great situation. He is in a great situation for him. And he's got a defense. He's got an offensive line. He's got a running game. He's got a very good coaching staff.
That stuff matters. That
yes,
stuff matters.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And we've seen, Rob, you know, everybody gets hyped about the superstar quarterbacks now. And I get it. It's great to have one, right? But, Rob, we've seen plenty of teams win it without a superstar quarterback.
You don't have to have. Just don't turn the ball over at the worst time, right? Take control of the ball. We saw it with Baltimore when they had that. Who was it? Brad Johnson with Baltimore? No,
it was Trent Dilfer with Baltimore.
Brad Johnson was with Tampa.
Tampa.
Right?
Yeah.
And they had both of those teams, Chris, had great defenses. They used to score, get an interception and run it back. Like they were scoring like 15 points a game or whatever it was. Those defenses were so good, and the quarterback didn't have to do that much.
Right. Just be smart. Like you said, Jim McMahon going back to the 85 Bears. As you said, every one of those teams had a superior defense that won with a pedestrian quarterback. So it can be done, but I just think you got to pump the brakes on this. I mean, right now, Rob, go ahead.
I got information. Just let me read this. Because the Jones thing. Okay, currently sixth in the NFL in completion percentage, right? So you look at that and you go, wow, that's great. But his ADOT, A-D-O-T, the average depth of target, currently sits at 5.7, which is 27th in the league, right? That's Football Focus. And Jones has just 15 pass attempts that have traveled beyond 10 yards and just 5 that have gone over 20. So you just said that. They have the training wheels on them, and they're not letting him make mistakes or do anything, because when you throw a ball 5 yards, Chris, good chance that it's not going to be intercepted. When you throw it 10, 15, 20, 30, there's a chance that somebody could pick it off. It's pretty simple.
And I don't want this segment, at least on my end. I'm not sure where you're at on him, Rob. You could tell us in a moment. But I don't want this to come off like a hating Mac Jones conversation. I actually like Mac Jones. Like I said, I've picked him to lead or be carried, whatever you want to call it, but to help the Patriots get to the playoffs. I do think he'll have the best rookie season because he'll win the most games and he's in the best situation. What I'm pushing back on is the notion that he is the best individual quarterback in this draft after 2 games. I still think Trevor Lawrence has, I believe, 4 touchdowns and 5 interceptions. I still think he's the best quarterback in this draft. I still think Trey Lance has incredible potential. And Justin Fields as well. So I'm just saying I'm not ready to go where Lombardi and maybe Boomer Esiason is. Boomer, I'm not sure exactly where he was, but he did say he would be number one draft pick. And, Rob, even after all we've seen, there's no way I think Urban Meyer takes Mac Jones over Trevor Lawrence if the draft was tomorrow knowledge we've seen.
Nope. It wouldn't have happened. Nope.
Right.
I totally agree. That's revisionist history because it just wouldn't happen.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Odd Couple with Chris Broussard and Rob Parker weekdays at 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
All right, Rob, let's get to it. We're going to go to the NBA. They're facing I hope this does not become a big issue, but right now it's certainly looking like it could, Rob. All right, the NBA is not requiring players to get vaccinated. All right, but the Players Association estimates that between 85-90% of their players are vaccinated, okay? But that's still a decent number, 10%. That's a decent number. It's about 50 guys who aren't vaccinated. And the NBA is taking the stance of whatever the state or city, their rules.
They have no choice.
That's what we're following, right? And so in New York and in San Francisco, you have to get vaccinated, all right, to work, in a common environment with other people. And so that being the case, any players on the Nets, the Knicks, and the Warriors who aren't vaccinated would miss all 41 home games, and right now they're saying even practices.
You couldn't play, right? You couldn't do anything, right?
Right.
Not in that state, right?
Absolutely. And so now there are medical and religious exemptions, and I believe they're trying to get, I think they might be seeking a religious exemption for Andrew Wiggins. There's talk about that. I'm not sure, but they – you know, obviously I think these guys that are really adamant about not getting vaccinated are going to try to seek some type of exemption. But Stephen A., our good buddy, said today, if Andrew Wiggins doesn't get vaccinated, Rob G., correct me if I'm wrong because I didn't see it. You told me that he would trade Andrew Wiggins. Is that correct? Okay. Well, Rob, Kyrie is believed to be unvaccinated as well. And this is tough. If I'm the Nets, I want to run it back. We weren't healthy last year, so you didn't really get to see the big three together. When they were together, it was Magic, 11-3, I believe, including the playoffs. But if I were the Nets, and let's say Kyrie insisted on not getting vaccinated, because he might get vaccinated, and so might Wiggins. You know, we don't know.
Yeah, when push comes to shove, Chris, they just have to, like, I'm going to lose money. This is not, you know, I'm going to be in a no man's zone. And it ain't like
my team.
90% of the league is unvaccinated. Then you would be, you're in the minority.
Right.
Do you know what I mean? Like there's a big difference between the two.
Well, no doubt. And here's what I would say to those who aren't vaccinated. You get vaccinated when you went to school. Public school, private school, daycare, whatever. Your kids get vaccinated. It's required by states, right? Chicken pox, hepatitis B, all these different things.
You can't go to school, Chris, with the other kids, right? You can't.
The same government that's giving you those vaccinations that, you know, let's just keep it real. Cats ain't doctors. Cats ain't doing the research, reading up on those vaccinations. You're just taking it. So I'm just saying, think about that as you insist on doing all your research on this. But anyway, Rob, if Kyrie doesn't take the vaccination and then were to miss all these games, this is what I'd do if I'm the Nets, Rob. I would quietly go to Kevin Durant and be like, look, we want all three of y'all back. We want to sign you to long-term extensions, or at least Harden and Kyrie. You already are signed, KD.
Right.
But Kyrie's not taking the vaccination. He's going to miss half the season.
Right, we can't do
it. Not to mention practices. So first I'd be like, KD, can you convince him?
How about if you get to the NBA Finals and the games are in Brooklyn?
Right. Well, which half of them will be, right? Three or four of them will be. And I would say if you can't convince him, that's our first option. You can convince him, and then everything's good. If you can't convince him, are you cool with us moving? I don't want to trade Kyrie if I'm the Nets. I've said on the air, I look at Damian Lillard, I look at Bradley Beal, I look at Ben Simmons, but I think ultimately I'd rule I'm keeping Kyrie. But in this case, I would, if I had to move him because he wouldn't take the vaccination, Rob, and I think a good deal would be Ben Simmons. Because one of the, I don't say problems, but one of the questions about the Nets is defense. And Ben Simmons is one of the best defenders in the league. And he would play great with the Nets because you don't need him to score more. I mean, he's going to give you 15 points. But you don't need him to, you can play near the basket, right? And push it in transition. But Harden's your point guard. So that's how I would approach it. And I wouldn't want to do that. But, I mean, do you leave him any choice, Rob? What are your thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, you got to think about the future. You're trying to win a championship. You can't play with one hand tied behind your back, Chris. They did that last year.
Right.
If Kevin Durant wore size 14, they would have gone to the conference finals, right? Right. I mean, like, let's just be honest.
I think it's safe to say they would have beaten Atlanta.
Yeah, and they were two players down.
Right.
Think about that.
One and a half at least, right?
Right. I mean, Harden was out there, but he was a shell of himself. And remember, he got hurt in game one against Milwaukee 15 seconds into the game.
Yep.
So I'm just – you don't want to do that again. You're like, let's put this all together. Give us a real shot. And the Nets would have a chance to bring a championship to Brooklyn. But everybody's got to be on the same page. And you just said it. People have their own personal. If you're a hermit or you're living, by yourself, Chris, on some remote island and you want to do your own thing, I'm not going to knock you. But when you're, dealing with other people and we've seen so much life lost and so many people sick and affected, you could say whatever you want about the vaccination. The facts are that people are dying from it,
right,
or dying from the related, you might have some underlying health issues, right, Chris, and this pushes you to over where there. It could cost you your life.
I was just talking to a friend of mine, Rob, real talk. I was just yesterday. He's 37, and he had COVID this month. Mm-hmm. And he said it had him down for a month.
Wow.
He said it was rough. And he's 37 years old. He's not, elderly by any stretch of the imagination. And he didn't ever have to go on ventilators, but he was in the hospital for a week. And it was tough. So we'll see. But I think this is interesting. And I think, Rob, my bet, now it's hard to predict with Kyrie. He's his own man. He's going to do what he wants. But my bet would be that Wiggins and Kyrie take the vaccination.
I agree. I think that they'll look at the situation, see what's going on, and be like it's funny you say this, Chris, because as you know, I mentor a lot of people, and I've gotten a few phone calls from some of the guys that I mentor, and they're facing the very same thing.
Work but they don't want to take the vax?
No, they're unclear, unsure about it. But their jobs have told them if they don't, they can't work. And so they're like, trying to figure out and maneuver what can I do? And I'm just like, when you're working around other people, it's not only your choice. You got to understand that.
I think you also, Rob, have to look at all the people that have taken it. Now, I guess people will say, well, we don't know what's going to happen to you a year from now, from now.
We don't know. We don't know.
Right? But we've taken it, and we're fine.
Just like they blame Hank Aaron's death. He's 91, Chris. They blamed it because he took the shot.